We gotta spread this stuff around. Let's put it on the internet.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Great heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
Well, now, obviously we talk about this. There's no money to be had anywhere, but let's say somebody, you know, let's say a TV company, you know, let's say they ponied up the money. You know, you get the 40th anniversary coming up. If they could get everybody back together, would you participate in something like that?
Oh, yeah, I would really like to see something like that happen, but I'm not going to get sucked in like I did with that National Geographic show. You know, I really had high hopes. They've got such a great reputation for their nature and science documentaries. When they wanted to do a show, you know, I thought this was going to be the best yet, and it turned out to be one of the worst. You know, their position on UFOs is just basically to spoof it, and I wasted a few days with them. But see, the promise was they were going to bring in these scientists and these investigators. They were going to do follow-up on the radiation and the electromagnetic readings and the tree growth at the site, all these things. And none of that happened. It was just a big
right.
Hooey. You know, it was just total silliness. You know, it's just, oh, man, an embarrassment for them. And for me, I guess. The best one that's ever been done was the Sci-Fi Channel. Did a special 90 minutes all on this case of Paranormal Witness. And they did interviews with everybody involved. Except the one that couldn't be found, and the one that died, but they did interspersed it with some really good reenactments, and so you know in the last 38 years, that's the best that's been done.
Yeah, well, that's too bad. And of course, I'll try not to retread on questions, and I'm sure you've been asked this about a million times, but. You know, the thoughts on the movie, you know, what were your, you know, were you happy? I guess let's rephrase it in a way that at least keeps it kind of fresh. You know, at the end of the day, would you have still signed on for this movie, given how it all turned out, or would you rather have, you know, maybe waited and tried to get a better representation of the story?
Well, you know, I guess I'd never thought of it that way. You know, I definitely have said, yeah, I would do it, because the net effect was positive, in spite of the fact that they didn't stick with the real story. But the way you put it there makes me think, well, maybe I should have held out for at least final script approval. I don't have to write it. Just let me see what you're going to do so that, you know, if it goes too far afield, you know, we're not going anywhere until there. You know, probably that would have been the only thing. But all in all, you know, 2020 hindsight's always perfect.
Exactly.
But, I'm glad that it happened in the sense that it caused a lot of people to hear about it and look into it and get the real facts in ways that they probably never would have without the movie. And, you know, I'm hoping someday to get a remake and that will stick closer to the real story.
Right. That was the next thing I was going to ask you. You know, have you ever been approached to do it? I mean, it was a pretty popular movie. It did pretty well for itself. I mean,
and it still is. You know, I'm still hearing from people from every corner of the world that are, you know, it's in a way, you know, there's more interest right now than there was back then. You know, I'm going to be doing a tour with some people from China, and I've just been contacted by Russian television. That'll be a first. And I guess it's the internet. That's probably it. But now the world is aware of it, and it's like they've just discovered it anew.
Well, that's an interesting sort of, I guess, perspective to look at it from. Have you gotten a different response from people in other countries versus the United States, where we're sort of more conditioned to sort of giggle at this, and maybe in other places they're not?
Well, you know, in England, they think they're the ones that are giggling at it, and that America takes it serious. Yeah, I was there in December, and that's what they were telling me, and I was kind of scratching my head about that one.
That's weird.
But, it's certain parts of the world are more receptive, and certain parts are just now opening up, and it's spreading like wildfire in certain countries because a lot of their governments are not as secretive as ours.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Well, look at the, you know, a lot of countries are putting out their UFO files now. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I definitely wanted to ask you here about the Moment of Truth episode you were on for Fox. I thought that was really interesting, because I'm very skeptical of them, I guess you could say.
That was total a phony show.
Right.
Well,
I guess
totally fake.
Yeah. What I'm asking is, do you think that it was, you know, that they just had faulty, you know, they put it all together faulty, you know, poorly, or do you think that, you know, because the way it sounded, and I haven't watched it, but I've read it, sort of a description of it, it sounded like you were at the cusp of the big payoff, and then they pulled the rug out from under you.
They just did that for drama. I mean, The questions that I answered truthfully, according to them, there's no way I can be lying on the big one, but they just wanted it that way. See, nobody ever got the big payoff.
Mm, that's what I mean. Like, I'm asking. Yeah.
That show was a big fake, and the examiner's job was to make sure you didn't. And the law in many states concerning polygraph is that the maximum number of questions is 4. That the reliability of the method breaks down. And also, you have to do repeated runs, a minimum of 3. So that you have something to compare to. If there's any sort of a response to a certain question, you want to see that it's there for all 3 runs. Well, they did 50 questions, more than 50, one time through. So, you know, there's not an examiner, a polygraph examiner anywhere that would do anything but say, as a matter of fact, I ran onto a guy who is a court, recognized expert on polygraph, who formed a website right after that show came into being, before I was ever on it, basically attacking them as being absolutely worthless in terms of polygraph, that the results that they would get would be nothing better than flipping a coin. And I've consulted the top experts in the world since that show, and they all agree that in my case, you know, every error in the world, every disqualifying condition that you can imagine was present there. But anyway, it did serve one purpose. I immediately came home from that show and sought out the most rigorous test I could find. And the state of New Mexico allows the results to be used in court, so it's very highly regulated there. And so I got the top-rated examiner in the state there that does work for Albuquerque Police Department, the New Mexico State Prisons, and even the U.S. Marshals.
Oh, wow.
And ultra-modern, this is the first time I've ever seen a polygraph that has 5 traces, but it was all, it was the modern method where the examiner scores it and the computer scores it. And, you know, I passed with flying colors, 2 separate tests. So, you know, at the time that the crew passed the test and I passed my first test, president of the American Polygraph Association said that the odds were over 1,000,000 to 1 of there being an error of any kind, you know, because polygraph isn't perfect. But when you have 6 people or 7 people all passing tests on the same question, the odds are 1,000,000 to 1 that there could be any problem with it. And that was back when there were 6 tests, and now there's been 16 past tests in connection with this. And 5 of those are my own tests.
Wow.
By 3 different examiners, all of them associated with law enforcement, other than that ridiculous show, which is not a true polygraph at all. It's just certainly a stupid error on my part to think that, that they would be fair at all.
Right, right. Because, yeah, it would... You didn't give any sort of thought to, you know, the idea that maybe this was some kind of unconscious response, that maybe there was something else that happened to you that you couldn't understand. You know what I mean? Like that maybe, some, but you'd already sort of answered that question before on polygraph, and so this was more of an anomaly in that regard.
Well, you know, if I detect a hostility or a negative attitude from somebody, it does enrage me, you know, and that's you don't want to provoke those kind of emotions because what you're trying to measure with a polygraph is response to the questions. So the things that they did to provoke me, like for instance, one thing they had was you know, they filmed this dummy sequence in which I was had my arm with the sensors on it resting comfortably on this table like it's supposed to be. But in actuality, the real test, my arm was balanced on this narrow steel rail.
Oh, God.
For a long time. I mean, 50 questions, it takes, you know, over an hour. And it was excruciating because, you know, you don't want to move in the slightest because, you know, that's going to cause a reading.
Hmm.
But the pressure and the pain that was causing definitely would screw up the test.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they don't want to lose that $100,000.
No, they had no intention of paying it, and they never did. Never paid anybody. And you know what I found out, and one thing that made me start to walk out, was that I found out that more people that had come there to film had left prior to finishing. They were walking out on the show than had actually been put in the can to be, you know, broadcast.
Was that because they thought it was a fake, or because they were asking them like questions that they didn't really want to get into? You know, like did you cheat on your wife?
What their reason was, but you know, with the money incentive that they're giving, there must have been quite a bit of negative to make them say, "Well, the heck with this."
To tie it all together, you know, at the end of the day, well, let me ask you this, because this I thought was interesting. I heard you, as I said, on that Coast to Coast episode back about a year ago. With a couple of the crew guys, and you said, you know, you've changed your perspective on all this, where you, at the beginning you were sort of accepted that you were an abductee, and now you kind of think that you were just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you got hurt, and the ETs were helping you. I guess extrapolate on that, and also, at the end of the day, did the ETs treat you more humanely than the humans did?
Well, I think that the amount of pain and fear that I was experiencing was just kind of an accident of circumstance, you know. I was injured because of my own fault. I know now. You know, I got too close and caused something to happen that wouldn't have happened had I not gotten so close. And so the injury was probably what led them to take me. That they couldn't just, if I was in cardiac arrest, you know, the nearest hospital from the contract there would have been over an hour away, and, you know, it would have been too late. So if there was any reviving to do, it had to be done immediately, and I think that's what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
But so I still come to in a lot of pain, struggling to breathe, and that suffocating feeling really is a big trigger for panic.
Hmm.
And so that cast a whole negative thing over the whole experience in the extreme. That probably, you know, distorted my judgment of the whole thing. The fact that I was returned at all, that I was returned to a place where I could get help, and that there've been, you know, no negative after effects.
Right, that's what I mean. I mean, they helped you out. And then you got back, and all the humans were like, you know, we want something from you. It's kind of a weird contrast.
Yeah.
Now, have you considered the interdimensional scenario?
Well, so, you know, in answer to that, you know, are these extraterrestrials? You know, there's all kinds of theories. Do they come from another dimension? Do they come from the past, from the future? You know, are they really some sort of a trick of some Earth-based agency? Any of those are possible. I lean towards the extraterrestrial explanation because it's actually the least far out. You know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Occam's razor, you know? The old saying that if you hear hoofbeats on the bridge, the logical thought immediately is not zebras, you know? Probably horses, you know?
Unless you're in Africa.
Yeah, it depends on where you're at. But, you know, what I mean is,
yeah,
the most likely scenario is simply extraterrestrials.
Now, when you got
I
back...
I know that.
When you got back from the whole experience, you thought it was only a few hours, but obviously it was a few days. Do you think that your sense of time was distorted, but that actually time was distorted? Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's possible, but that really, you know, my main reason for thinking so little time had gone by is because the conscious period that I recalled at that point was so brief that I thought it was the same night. But the beard growth that I had and the watch that I was wearing, you know, was a calendar watch.
Okay.
Unless, you know, they could obviously change it before they brought me back to throw me off. But I think it was probably 5 days, and it's, you know, time that I just can't recall.
Right, right. If anything, that would be the kind of mistake you'd hope they would make, you know, where they'd be like, oh, we didn't even think of the watch, you know, and you get back and you're like, look at this. What do you make of the whole sort of chain of events, in a sense? Because what happened to you and sort of what happened to Betty and Barney Hill, you guys were kind of the three biggest abductees before the big boom. You know, you guys were kind of really different from what became the textbook, if you will, abduction story. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, what do you make of how abductions as a narrative changed, you know, in the 80s? And, you know, what do you make of that?
Well, that's kind of funny, you know, because I've heard a number of investigators in the past saying, well, I always doubted Travis's case because it doesn't match the others. And that was really ironic to me, because way back, one of the first things that the debunkers were saying was, well, this is just like all those other cases, it's just another copycat. You know, so which is it? You know, it's six of one, half a dozen the other, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever scenario they want. One debunker saying he wouldn't say nothing, he's all secretive. The other one is he's out there jumping out in front of the world, you know. Which is it, you know?
Well, I guess to turn the perspective around, though, I mean, if we're looking, you kind of cautioned about sort of putting ourselves in the aliens' shoes, but if we do for a moment, do you think maybe, you know, they were like, well, it worked with Betty and Barney, it worked with Travis, you know, that's the green light. We can take these people whenever we want. It's not going to be a problem.
I don't know. I think there's several phenomena going on simultaneously right now. Some of it's similar to what happened to me and Betty, and some of it's a whole different kind of thing. Some of it's even secret military stuff, and they're just using the UFO phenomena as cover. And, of course, you know, the debunkers, if they can latch onto one case that they can prove to be a delusion, they want to assume they're all delusions. I would assume that some of them are. That way it would be strange if none of them were. You know, certainly there are some very good plausibility to the idea that a really vivid dream could make somebody believe something had really happened. But, you know, there's some really good cases too. And not all of them are abductions. Some of them are just sightings. You know?
Right, right. Exactly, yeah. Well, I mean, what do you think of the whole the fact that abduction has become synonymous with sightings? I've kind of argued that they need to be separated a little bit, because, you know, even though they've been seen together, it's not necessarily, you know, we may be missing something, I guess, by lumping them together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there actually could be a lot more phenomena than I've even listed here going on simultaneously, and we're just lumping them all together. I've often talked about how people categorize these aliens as, you know, just three basic categories, and that's all there is. You know, they got this big category they call the grays, and I really think that there's probably many different species coming here, and just because they're small, humanoid, hairless, large-eyed beings, you know, everybody calls them grays and tries to, you know, account for the variations in descriptions as just being, you know, witness perception or something like that. But I think they could be completely different species from completely different planets. They just happen to look similar.
Now, at the end of the day, do you think we're going to – this is the wrap-up here. At the end of the day, do you think we'll ever really find out what this is all about, or, you know, you think this is something that's so far above us and beyond us that we'll always kind of be left wondering until the day they put us in the ground?
No, I think we will find out, and, you know, we're going to find out a lot more in our lifetimes, you know, but without a doubt, eventually it'll all come out. And I think a lot of it hinges on our own readiness.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've argued on the program that it may be a generational thing, too. You know, as the next generation and the generation after that, eventually there'll be a generation that just accepts this, and you almost don't need disclosure, you know?
Yeah.
It'll be a slow process. Well, we're right up against the hour, so what do you have coming up here over the course of the summer and into the future? Of course, folks can find out more about you at TravisWalton.com. Don't forget the hyphen between Travis and Walton, folks. I know you have a speaking engagement coming up. Let me see. You may know it better than I do. I'm looking for it on your website.
Well, I think the first next one would be Roswell.
Oh, nice.
The 5th, 6th, and 7th. 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. July 4th is the anniversary of the Roswell incident. I spoke there the last 5 years. I'll be speaking there again this year. But quite a few things coming up around the country. I was supposed to be in Brazil last week, but the embassy bungled my travel documents and had to cancel at the last minute.
It's a little crazy there right now. I don't know if you'd really want to be hanging around Brazil.
That's what I saw on the news. All kinds of riots down there, so maybe I'm better off not.
Yeah, exactly. And as I said, folks can find out more about your upcoming events at travis-walton.com. What's the status on the book? I know you did a reissue through the website. Is that still available
there,
for folks?
Yeah, and there's a real convenient way to order it through the website now, and I'm working on getting a Spanish translation.
Well, that's awesome. So, folks, as I said, stay tuned to travis-walton.com, and hopefully he'll be around your part of the country or your part of the world sometime in the future, and you can talk to him yourself. Travis, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I know you don't do too many programs, but you took some time out of your busy schedule to talk to us, and I really do appreciate it. And I'm just captivated by your story, not just what happened with the UFO, but what happened with the people following that and the subsequent, you know, 30-plus years. And I've really enjoyed exploring it here with you, and I hope I held up my end of the bargain and tried to bring some new perspectives or some new thoughts to the whole thing and made you think a little bit about different stuff. So thank you so much for coming on the program. Hopefully we can do this again sometime in the future, and I wish you the very best.
Thank you very much.
That does it for the season finale of BOA Audio Season 7. Big, big thanks to Travis Walton for coming on the show, helping us close the book on Season 7, and for being so open and revelatory about his story and life. For more information on Travis Walton, of course, you can find that at www.travis-walton.com. Pretty simple, just don't forget the hyphen, travis-walton.com. Check it out. Before we dive into BOA audio listener feedback, let me just quickly throw in those plugs from the beginning of the show in case some folks are going to shut us down and opt out of the end show segment. First of all, as noted, BOA Audio Season 8 is a go, and you'll be hearing it sometime in October. That is the plan right now. I've already got a slew of tremendous guests lined up. Cannot wait to talk to them. Cannot wait to share these topics with the BOA audio listeners. I know it has been a very weird close to Season 7, but trust me, folks, we are going to hit the ground running in a big way as we roll out Season 8 in the fall. But in the interim, we're not quite done yet, folks. BOA Live is going to be coming at you sometime very, very soon. Possibly in the next week, possibly in the next 10 days. I don't have a firm premiere date set, but it is very, very close. And it is going to be, as I said earlier, the hub of BOA Audio until we launch Season 8. Tremendous stuff planned for that as well. Really, I think it's going to be quite different from Banal of America, but also very BOA-esque, since it is, of course, BOA Live. Stay tuned to Banal of America on Facebook and BOA Proper for more information on BOA Live, but it is coming very, very soon, my friends, and it is going to be awesome.
Now, moving right along, it's time for BOA audio listener feedback. And since we haven't done this segment in quite some time, plus it feels like we've got some time to fill here at the end of the show, I've picked out 6 emails to feature here on BOA audio listener feedback. So let's dive on in. The first one comes from Luke in Bristol, England. Here's what he has to say. Just made a first-time donation. I think it's only fair, seeing as I've listened and enjoyed so much of your content over the years. I just want you to know that your hard work is appreciated and respected. And keep it up. I tend to leave the show for a 6-month spell and then cram in all the ones I've missed. The combination of the length of the show and your modest radio persona helps push these conversations into interesting places. Anyways, much love from Bristol, England, Luke. Thank you very much for writing in, Luke. First of all, thank you for the donation to Banal of America. I'm going to try not to push donations too much here at the end of the show, but I wanted to put Luke over here for posting a donation to BOA. It is tremendously appreciated. And I kind of like your strategy here. Leave the show for a 6-month spell and then cram in all the ones you've missed. Some folks would say that's what I do here as I produce the programs. Ha ha ha. But I think that's a pretty good way of doing things. And you know, the length of the program is probably a big part of why it takes me so long to get these shows out. I mean, some of these conversations are 2-plus hours. Just to edit them and put it all together takes me 5 or 6 hours, and I'm just totally burned out after that. And I'm really burned out here closing out the season. So I'm looking forward to having maybe a month or two to relax and then get really heavy into Season 8. It's going to be awesome. And you say the modest radio persona. There's no persona here, Luke. What you see is what you get. Banal is Banal and always has been, always will be. You know, I'm not trying to put on airs or be somebody I'm not. I'm just Tim Banal, and I'm the host of Banal of America Audio, so some things never change. We still have the Raggedy Ann equipment we've been using since the very first episode of this program. Still use them all the way to here tonight, talking to you at the close of Season 7. Don't anticipate any changes there either. And, of course, much love to the international listeners. Luke represents England here, writing in, all the way from Bristol, England, which is pretty cool. And I always like to feature the international listeners at the end of the show. Shout out to all the folks listening beyond America. Just because it's called Banal of America doesn't mean we're an American show. It's just a cheesy name that we came up with way, way, way before any of all this even started. And it's really cool that we have so many listeners all over the world. And that includes you, Luke. So thank you, my friend, for writing in. Next email comes from Brian in Long Island, New York, and here's what he has to say. I have been reading the 1111 book by Marie Jones and Larry Flaxman, and I see that you are in collaboration with them. The reason for my email is that I am deciphering their book, and there are some alterations that I can make that explain what 1111 is. I have been recently doing a lot of research on multiple accounts. I am studying all religions, Mayans, time, universe, 1111, etc. I would like somebody to contact me, because I feel alone in my search. I have all of this information and nobody to share it with. Ultimately, I am trying to contact the writers as well, and want to show you that I am a credible source. Thank you for your time, and you may contact me at your earliest convenience. Your friend, Brian. Thank you very much for writing in, Brian. Best of luck on your research into 1111. That is a fascinating phenomenon in and of itself. So I'm interested in hearing more about what you have dug up concerning 1111. And I think, Brian, I think there's a nugget here in his email that really resonated with me, because he says, I feel alone in my search, and he would like somebody to contact him. I think, isn't that really what drives this whole program? You know, it's the researchers. They feel alone in their search. The listeners feel alone in their search for answers to all this stuff. And that's kind of what BOA has become, sort of this, you know, grassroots community, if you will, of folks who don't want to be alone in their search. And you're not alone, folks. You're part of the BOA family here, you know. We're all together in this and trying to figure out the mysteries of high strangeness. So, Brian, do not feel alone, my friend. I'm going to reach out to him and contact him and maybe if he can put together some kind of manifesto on 11-11, we'll feature him in some way, shape, or form via the BOA franchise. Because I don't want you to feel alone, Brian. I don't want anyone out there to feel alone. I hate it when I feel alone. So maybe that's why I do the show, because I don't want to be alone, so I can talk to all you guys out there. I don't even know. But it resonated with me, the feeling here. So thank you for writing in, Brian. I really do appreciate your email, my friend. Once again, just remember, you're not alone. Next email comes from frequent BOA audio correspondent Paul in Kitchener, which I believe is in Ontario, Canada. And he's writing regarding my quest to quit smoking, which was discussed, I believe, at the end of one of the more recent editions of the program. Here's what he has to say. You can stop smoking if you want to, and you've heard that 1,000 times. What I've learned about COPD, formerly called emphysema, after being diagnosed, virtually every long-term smoker will have this issue. The worse it is, the more trouble breathing. Stop before you hit 40, or sooner, maybe by the start of next season. Tim, anybody who gives a shit about you is going to badger you about smoking. Anyways, I'm coming up on annual donation month, and I want you around to keep your show going. Cheers, Paul in Kitchener. I don't know, I like how he's so adamant and so serious about this. It seems like I'm collecting people now who want me to quit smoking. More people keep entering my life who really want me to quit smoking. It's funny, in a way, because I meet people, I become friends with people, I get into relationships with people, and next thing you know, it's like I got another person who really wants me to hurry up and quit smoking. So I'm going to make a serious run at it here between seasons. And hopefully by the time I kick off season 8, I will be a non-smoker by the time you hear from me again in the taped format. So stay tuned, and during the course of BOA Live, I'll try and give folks updates. I guess that's it on the smoking front. No big developments aside from the increase in cigarette prices here in Massachusetts, which is outrageous and more than enough to add additional kindling on the fire to quit smoking. So thank you for writing in, Paul. I really do appreciate that you care enough to badger me about the smoking as well. You are not just a listener, you are a friend, and I appreciate that. All right, let's keep on going here with BOA audio listener feedback. Next one comes from Mike, no hometown listed. Here's what he has to say. Show idea. Was Queen Elizabeth a man? Thanks for all the great work. I've followed your show for years and always enjoy it. I ran into this article this weekend and thought it would make a great show idea if you could get the author referenced in it. And then there's a link to an article in the Daily Mail which details a new book which alleges that Queen Elizabeth was a man, as given away here by the subject title. Mike continues, let me know what you think, and thank you for the quality audio. Mike, no hometown listed. Mike, I love it. I would love to do that topic on the program. I think that would be tremendous and definitely what BOA Audio is all about, exploring the real fringes of the esoteric and alternative history. I will look into this. I will try and get a hold of the author, and I will try and see if we could do it as a BOA Audio program. I'm not sure how well that would flesh out into a lengthy conversation, but anything's possible, and I've definitely added this to the list of potential BOA guests, because that is a wild topic and one I would definitely want to explore on BOA Audio in Season 8. Thank you so much for passing this one along, because I never would have noticed it percolating in the news cycle. And we'll segue that, of course, into the annual call for guests. If you'd like to hear folks on BOA Audio, now's your time to send me their information. Let me know who you'd like to hear on BOA Audio Season 8. We've only got about 6 or 7 folks right now penciled in the very early stages. So there's tons of spots here in Season 8. And I want to hear from the BOA Audio listeners about what you want to hear on the program. We will have the contact information in just a few moments. So until then, start thinking about who you'd like to hear on Season 8. And then send the info on to me, and I'll see what I can do about getting them on the program. The penultimate email comes from a mysterious man by the name of Red Lightning, and here's what he has to say. I've listened to nearly every one of your podcasts over the last few years. My day job affords me the luxury of being able to listen to podcasts at work. Although for some reason I'm unable to access the full shows on your site, I can hear Part A and Part B very easily. I'm also a big baseball fan. I'm a big Brewers fan and also a Twins fan. Living in western Wisconsin, I'm closer to Minneapolis than Milwaukee, so I try to get to at least one Brewers and one Twins game each year. I've been intending to email you for years, but never did, because I never really had anything to say. I guess I don't really have anything specific to say this time either. I could give a few guest suggestions for Season 8. The first one would be Scotty Roberts, or Scott Allen Roberts. He is the author of two books, one about reptilians, and one about the Nephilim. He and I have similar backgrounds, so he's very interesting to me. Another guest I would suggest, but I'm not sure you would want to go down that road or not, is the whole super soldier subject. I'm not sure I totally buy into it, but I like listening to interviews with Duncan O'Finian. Like I said, I'm not sure I believe it all, but it's interesting for sure. Another suggestion would be the host of another podcast I listen to quite often, and that would be Randy Maugins from Off Planet Radio. He kind of discusses topics on the fringe, but I think the two of you would have an interesting conversation. A return guest I would like to hear a second time would be John Lear. He is never boring. I really like a lot of your off-the-beaten-path type of guests. The Columbine shows were great, especially the first one. The show on cruise ships was phenomenal. There were others, too, that I can't remember right now that weren't normal topics, but the guests were great, and I felt like I learned something new. I also wanted to let you know that you are one of my favorite hosts. Your site is one of the sites I check frequently for new podcasts to listen to. I love the fact that you're a big wrestling fan. I'm pretty much a nobody on the national scene, but I've been an independent pro wrestler for 15 years in the Midwest, and just announced my retirement on May 1st. I've only been retired for a short time, and I already can't wait to get back in the ring, so I'm not sure how long this will last. But it's very cool to hear you talk wrestling and even throw in a few wrestling terms during episodes, which always makes me smile. Another reason is because even though I'm sure I'm a few years older, it seems like we are close in age. I just turned 36. Most in the paranormal field seem to be in their 50s or older. I'm not exactly in the field. I just enjoy researching it, and I find the topics interesting. I have no intention of going ghost hunting or anything, but a blog or podcast would be something I would consider at some point. Keep up the good work. Red Lightning. Wow, I don't even know where to begin on this email. First of all, it is crazy and awesome that we have a pro wrestler who listens to the program. Someone who practices the dark arts of professional wrestling. Just awesome, awesome stuff. Thank you for writing in, Red Lightning. I like how he doesn't even reveal his true name. He's just Red Lightning, and that's who he's going to be, folks. He's Red Lightning. I want to get more into Red Lightning's life and find out more about what's going on with him. I think it's really cool that he's a big fan of BOA Audio and that he's been a pro wrestler for 15 years. That's insane. I hope you're holding up okay, man. I don't know if I could do it for like 15 days. So 15 years, that's tremendous. Hopefully he's not too banged up. And always good to hear from folks who like the baseball special. We're kind of hitting on all the big points here as we close out the season. And the baseball special is the annual BOA Madness that is the departure from the paranormal. I'm glad there are some folks who still tune into the baseball special. Can't wait to talk to Paul Kimball again and rub it in his face that the Boston Red Sox are doing so well and his beloved Toronto Blue Jays have completely crapped out. Just I'm really enjoying that quite a bit. Thank you, Red Lightning, for sending in the guest suggestions. I'll check out Scotty Roberts, Duncan O'Finion, and Randy Maugins. I probably mispronounced all of those names, but I will definitely look into their stuff for sure. Super Soldier, that sounds amazing. That sounds like something I would definitely want to get into here on the program. I want to get into stuff we haven't talked about here on the show in the past 7 seasons. As you said, the off-the-beaten-path type of guests. Kendall Carver, the cruise ship episode, I'd put that one up against any edition of BOA Audio as a classic installment of the program. And if we can find more shows like that, more guests like that for season 8, and I'm working on it, folks. That's kind of where my mindset is here as I'm booking season 8. It's going to be a very eclectic and mind-bending season. So stay tuned, because season 8 is going to really rock your socks off, my friends. It is going to be awesome. And I think that's about it here for Red Lightning's email. Yes, we are close to the same age, my friend. I am 34, you are 36, so we are pretty close. That's amazing. I'm looking at this again. He's 36, he's been wrestling for 15 years, so he started when he was 21. Just awesome stuff. I'd like to know more about this. And actually, that reminds me, we are going to be doing a pro wrestling edition of the program in season 8. I'm working on that right now, and I'm looking forward to hopefully getting a really big guest on the program to talk about pro wrestling. Maybe we'll get Red Lightning in for an addendum to that episode, you know, do a two-parter or do a double guest episode there, or do sort of a back-to-back on the same show program to talk about the world of professional wrestling. Red Lightning, I'll be reaching out to you, my friend. I'm very interested in hearing more about your stuff. And we do have a lot in common here, because he says he has no intention of going ghost hunting, and that makes two of us, buddy. Thank you very much for writing in. Much appreciated. And finally, before we zip up the BOA audio listener feedback mailbag here for season 7, we've got one more email. It comes from Billy. No hometown listed. Here's what he has to say. I have been listening to your podcast for quite a while now, and after hearing your comments at the end of your interview with Bill Burns about being burned out, I had the urge to send you words of encouragement. I thoroughly enjoy your podcast, and especially like the variety of guests you book to interview. I never know what I'm going to get from episode to episode, which keeps things interesting. Your hard work does not go unappreciated. I have sent you a donation by snail mail with the hopes that it will adequately communicate the level of appreciation I have for you and what you do. Maybe it will alleviate any thoughts you may have had of not continuing your podcast as well. You mentioned that you had experienced positive changes in your personal life, and I can only guess what that means. But family demands can cause you to rethink your commitment to regularly putting out a podcast. I hope that is not the case, but if it is, so be it. I'll just have to enjoy the archive I have collected since I discovered your podcast a few years ago. Take care, and keep up the good work. Billy. Thank you very much for writing in, Billy. I want to save this one for last because, first of all, I don't want to scare anybody. There's no end in sight for BOA Audio. Season 8 is, as I've been saying here, a go. It is going to be awesome. And BOA Live will be coming at you in the not-too-distant future. But I really do appreciate that Billy kind of heard that fourth wall smashing that went on at the end of the last edition of the program and reached out to me and sort of gave me a little boost here, some words of encouragement, and a very generous donation as well. That wasn't the whole reasoning behind all that. I wasn't trying to get people to feel bad for me and send me money. That's the domain of other paranormal podcasters. That's not what I'm all about. But I do appreciate that Billy sent a donation and that he reached out to me. And, you know, I was kind of coming from a hurt place at the end of the last edition of the program. You know, it's just grueling doing this show. And it's really grueling putting out these 2-plus-hour programs, even if it's just every 10 days, even if it's like every 3 weeks, combined with work, and as I said at the end of that show, family commitments and positive personal life developments have just kept me tied down to a ridiculous degree this summer. I'm happy to report just as the summer is coming to an end, a lot of the distractions have been coming to an end as well. My work life is alleviating, the personal life situation is settling into a nice groove, and the family demands have lessened quite a bit. So I'm feeling refreshed. I'm really looking forward to diving into creating this new content for the BOA Audio listeners. I'm thrilled about it, and I cannot wait to get started on all of these different projects that have been percolating all summer. So do not fear, folks. do not worry. It's been a bumpy ride this season. It's been a really bumpy ride here as we close the book on Season 7. But BOA Audio Season 8 is on the horizon. I can see it coming up ahead, and it is going to be a tremendous ride. And BOA Live is going to be something that you are going to have to listen to and experience for yourself. So I guess at the end of the day, all I have to say is we are going to continue onward, folks. As always, and as we always do, we are going to continue onward. Thank you for running in, Billy, and thank you for your tremendous support. Additionally, thanks to Red Lightning, Mike, Paul, Brian, and Luke for writing in here on this edition of BOA Audio Listener Feedback. Thanks to all the folks who've been writing in all season. There's just way too many to mention. Tons of folks. Folks who had their emails featured here at the end of the show. Folks who sent massive emails. Super long emails that I could never read at the end of the program. But I did my very best to get back to you. There's still some folks who I owe a return email, and you'll get it during this mid-season downtime. Trust me, folks, I do not forget about the folks that email me, and I read all the emails. So if you haven't heard back from me, do not fear. I have read your correspondence, and will try to get back to you ASAP. Nonetheless, thank you, everybody who's reached out over the course of the last year or so here during Season 7. And I still want to hear from you, so send me your correspondences. Let me know who you want to hear on future installments of BOA Audio. What topics do you want us to explore? If you got stuff off the beaten path, definitely send me that information, because I want to dig into more of those topics as we keep going here into the future. That's what the listeners really seem to enjoy, and that's what I've been enjoying exploring here on the program. So, with that said, here are the means to contact me. You can write to boaaudio@hotmail.com. You can head on over to banalofamerica.com, B-I-N-N-A-L-L ofamerica.com, and click the contact button. And if you want something a little more interactive, you can join up at the official BOA forum, theusofe.com, theusofe.com. It is BOA's paranormal playground where we discuss pop culture and the esoteric. If you've joined up recently and I have not approved your membership yet, shoot me an email. I'll take care of it right away. Sometimes those pile up on me and I don't get a chance to get around to approving those folks and weeding out the spammers. Additionally, of course, we are on Facebook and Twitter. Just punch in Binall, B-I-N-N-A-L-L. The profiles will pop right up. Feel free to befriend me, follow me, or poke me. It's all good, and I'd be happy to have you as part of my online circle of friends. Beyond all that, there is, of course, Binall of America on Facebook. We've been plugging that all season long. The final tally here is 1,020 likes on Facebook. So we're well past 1,000, but the more likes, the better. So if you've not liked us yet on Facebook, please do so. And if you're a frequent BOA Audio listener, you're going to want to like us, because that's where you're going to get information on BOA Audio Season 8. That's where you're going to get info on BOA Live. That's where I'll be looking for feedback from the BOA listeners as we continue onward here into BOA Live and onto BOA Audio Season 8. So just punch in Binall of America on Facebook, like us, and join in on the fun. And now please allow me to take a moment here and thank the outstanding and esteemed BOA staff, Leslie, Chiron, Regan Lee, Joe V, Tina Senna, Richard Thomas, Marla Pena, Bruce Pretty, Tony Morrill, our webmaster Ray Weigel, and our graphics guru Jeremy Boston. Not much going on at Binall of America right now, but we are tackling BOA 3.0 now that we are in the off-season. So hopefully you'll be seeing some improvements and changes at Binall of America very, very soon, courtesy of the tremendously talented Ray Weigel and Jeremy Boston. Additionally, I've been sitting on some columns from the BOA staff, and I'm going to be rolling those out very, very soon. New stuff from Regan Lee and Richard Thomas and other pieces percolating from the BOA staff, so stay tuned to Banal of America for more esoteric insights and opinions from the BOA staff. Up next comes the time in the program where I turn things around to all you folks out there and beat the drum a little bit and ask you to make a donation to the BOA franchise. I already hit you with that at the beginning of the show and maybe guilted you a couple times because I read emails from folks who have made donations. I don't want to guilt people. I don't want to beg. As I said, that's the purview of other paranormal podcasters. That's not the BOA way. All I'm going to say is this is episode 33. You have just heard a slew of programs over the last year under the BOA Audio Season 7 umbrella. Probably close to 100 hours of programming, numerous international episodes, literally days worth of my life put into the work here of Season 7. And if you appreciate it and you can help us out and you want to put us into the black as we get ready for BOA Live and BOA Audio Season 8, that would be hugely appreciated. I know I'm reaching out right now to the very hardest of hardcore BOA audio listeners, the folks who have listened to this massive end segment here on the season finale, and you're still listening to me, even as my voice gets hoarse and I'm running out of steam, you're still riding right next to me. You are the ride or die folks, and I really do appreciate your support, regardless of whether you make donations or not. That said, we would love it if you could help us out. How do you do that? Of course, that's simple. You head on over to banalofamerica.com and click the PayPal button. That'll take you to PayPal. They'll walk you through the process. It's safe, secure, and simple. But if you don't trust the internet and you want to make a snail mail donation, you can do that by writing to Tim Banal, P.O. Box 232, Pinehurst, Mass. 01866. And you can find the complete address at Banal of America under the PayPal button right there on the homepage. As always, no donation is too small, and all donations go towards Banal of America and BOA Audio to help keep the entire franchise up and running, freely available, and commercial-free for all of our great readers and listeners the world over. And on that note, since there is no next time on BOA Audio at this time, it's time to close the book on BOA Audio Season 7 once and for all. Big, big thanks once again to Travis Walton for coming on the show and providing some tremendous insights into his life and story. Enormous thanks to all six folks who contributed to BOA Audio listener feedback here at the end of Season 7. And finally, once again, thank you, thank you, thank you to all you folks out there, the hardcore BOA audio listeners, the true warriors of the BOA way. You guys are awesome. I cannot thank you enough for sticking with this program through thick and thin, for being a part of our good times, for being a part of our tough times, and for just being a part of BOA. You guys are awesome. I cannot thank you enough for your support of this program and for your enduring patience through what has been a very trying season at times. Normally, at the end of the season, I get a little choked up and, really kind of get quite sad that we're closing the book on another season. But this time around, I feel great, I feel good, and you're going to be hearing from me sooner than you can even possibly imagine. So it's not goodbye, it's just farewell for now. And with all that said, until next time, this is Tim Banal, thanking you for listening and signing off.